Andy Baggerly joins us from Colorado. Extra Bags, how are you?
Hey, Marty, good morning. I'm good. How are you?
Well, I'm doing great. And, you know, last night, I guess you go through this 162-game schedule in 180 days. You're going to have nights like this, my mama told me, nights like this. And just describe a little bit of what last night was like.
Yeah, it's because it's a split admission doubleheader, it makes a long day for everybody. You clear the ballpark. Of course, it takes two tickets to get you in to enjoy both games. But you know what? We might be paying the price a little bit not having the games mushed together, but we also got pretty lucky when we got out of here last time. They called the game very early. We weren't, you know, sitting around all day. We were able to get to the next city. I was able to get an earlier flight out. So, you know what? You gotta take the good with the bad, and the schedule is the schedule. It always throws you a few curveballs. And I'm just really hoping, Marty, that we get both games in today. And that Sunday we get out of here without much delay, since we've got a day game Memorial Day Monday in Milwaukee, which is always a little bit of a travel headache for us beat guys. So hopefully we get these last three games in. The Giants bullpen can emerge relatively intact, and they've obviously they're rolling right now.
Yeah. By the way, before we go into the Hunter Strickland coming up and Vogelsong and what he did last night, how is the weather today?
Well, right now it's overcast and not raining, but there is rain pretty much scheduled throughout the day. I'll have to check my app to see if that's improved at all. I'm looking out the window of my hotel, and I see a bunch of police motorcycles because I think they've got either a 10K or a half marathon or something that they're running downtown Denver. So sure hope it holds up for those folks. The last thing you want to do is try to slog 26 miles through the rain.
Really? All right, Andy Baggerly is with us. Hunter Strickland is the extra man today. And he, Andy, if I'm correct, is he available for both games?
That's right. Yeah, I did check with Bruce Bochy on that. He is available to pitch in both games. He could pitch in, and doesn't mean it's an either-or either. He could pitch in up here twice today if needed. And I think that they wouldn't hesitate to do that because he's pitched multiple innings, I think six times. 15 or so appearances in 22 innings, a great strikeout to walk ratio, just like it was last year, hasn't given up a home run, which of course I'm sure everyone's curious about. And you know, if they really had gotten a rough start from Vogelsong and got in dire straits yesterday, and they had to use Yusmeiro Petit out of the bullpen, then I think maybe they would have called up somebody different, maybe purchased the contract of Ty Block, who's a good, reliable strike thrower. Added him to the 40-man roster and had him start the second game, but they were able to get through without using Petit, and so he'll start the second game. But you know, it's going to be a premium on Chris Heston to try to get some length in this game one here, so they can try to keep as many bullets as possible behind Petit in game two.
Put us in some perspective. They've won seven in a row. You saw it last year. You know, the great start. What happened in the middle October? What does this team look like to you right now?
Well, they look like a team that scored 41 runs in their last four road games, and then they played three really tight ones against the Dodgers. So that's the part that's most encouraging is there have been times when they've played really well at home and have struggled on the road, and there have been some times when they've struggled at home, and the offense sort of hits a wall at home and they can't win games. I think when the Giants are at their best, they're taking advantage of the home field, which they did against the Dodgers, against the team it's most important they do it against. But then you go on the road, and they're able to compete in a slugfest, like with the Rockies coming back, storming back last night, literally storming back last night, and they're able to score enough early to hold them off. So, you know, I always think that the teams that are really good, that are able to build the wins, bank the wins to get, you know, to 85, 90, 95 to get in the playoffs, those are the teams that can win in a lot of different ways. And so I think you have to be encouraged that the Giants are scoring, you know, 41 runs in their last four road games, and yet they're also able to win the close ones at home. It tells you they're a team that has some versatility.
Yeah, and they've got some starting pitching. And, you know, I joke about it, pitching. Tony Salvador, my good friend, his father said that to him in the 40s. That's the key to baseball, and I've said it many times. The starting pitching, as you pointed out last night, I think you pointed out that I wrote it down. Last four games, 25 and two-thirds, 17 hits, no runs, 9 walks, 17 strikeouts. Not coincidental that they win these games.
Yeah, and, you know, the scoreless streak got up to 34 innings before DJ LeMahieu took George Contos deep last night, so that scoreless streak ended. But you'd never look at an 11-8 game and think that the starting pitcher went 6 innings, no runs. That's Coors Field for you. But they're 4/5 of the way through this turn in the rotation without giving up a single run, earned or unearned, the Giants' rotation is. And it'd be pretty cool if Chris Heston can keep that going. I think there was one time recently when the Giants did that or came close to doing that, and I tried to get the stat people to figure out when the last time that happened, and that was really not so easy to figure out. But it is very, very rare to make a whole turn through a rotation and not give up a single run. So, you know, we'll see if maybe Chris Heston can pick up that baton and carry it. And don't forget, this is a rotation that lost 2/5 of its components, you know, basically in the first week of the season. And Jake Peavy actually had a pretty nice outing for San Jose in a rehab start yesterday. So, you know, that means that there may be some reinforcements, a little depth on the way, which is a good thing.
Yeah, you know, and again, we always learn in baseball that you don't try to figure out today what could happen in 10 days because a million things can happen in the interim. However, but keeping in mind this winning streak and the way they've gone through this rotation, I think, what do you do with Jake Peavy? Let's assume they go through it one more time because, you know, there is a grace period here even if you get hit. Is Heston the most vulnerable one right now?
Well, I don't know if anybody comes out, to be honest. I think that...
What do you do?
Maybe what they do is, and they talked about this in the spring, to try to give everybody a little extra break and extra rest. Maybe once or twice a month they could fold in a sixth starter and then give everybody an extra day. And I don't know if that's still in the cards, but it could be. Peavy's got to show that he can bounce back and throw multiple innings without his back right. And his hips stiffening up in between. So we're a long way from figuring out if he can do that, Marty. But you know, if he does get back and get healthy, and then certainly you're looking down the road with Matt Cain as well, you know, closer to the All-Star break, the Giants are hoping.
Yeah.
It's one of your classic good problems to have. And, you know, like you said, a lot of these things sort themselves out over time. So probably not a whole lot of good can be gained in speculating on it right now.
All right. No, we won't speculate, but it's kind of fun because you love to see a team win 7 in a row and based on pitching, too, although the Cincinnati series, they did hit the ball pretty well. All right. Andy Baggerly is with us. Tony Hayes, you know Tony from the press box, texted me last night, and he said, boy, Matt Duffy, you know, obviously the Matt Duffy-McGee thing is something I want you to comment on, but he says, is Matt Duffy another Bill Miller? You know, Bill Miller never got any respect in the beginning of his career. He couldn't do anything. Don't put him in. He's too small. And he ended up winning 2 batting titles and being an amazing third baseman. Could Duffy be Bill Miller?
Well, you know what? Next time you have Ron Wotus on, I think that would be a great question to ask him because Ronnie managed Bill Miller in the minor leagues.
Right.
Some of those really good teams at San Jose and Double A, I think. He might have managed him on a couple levels. So he probably could draw a little more of a parallel between what Miller looked like coming up through the minors. But you know what, I got to say, you know, Bruce Bochy's not going to completely quit on Casey McGee, but I think we're going to learn something in another day, tomorrow, or Monday, actually. Monday is the day that they have to make a decision on Travis Ishikawa because his minor league rehab stint is up. And they have to either activate him and add him to the roster or designate him for assignment. And right now, if you're looking at you know where they might have room on their roster, either they could option Matt Duffy, which we know is not going to happen, or the other guy who's a bit who's sort of duplication right now is Joaquin Arias, because you've got Maxwell on the bench, and you've got Duffy on the bench or McGee, so you got 2 right-handed hitters. So you're kind of well covered in terms of right-handed bats, and then also. Third base, Duffy, I think, has shown he can play a pretty decent third base. And I think if they hold on to Arias, if they decide to DFA Ishikawa instead, I think that's going to signal to me maybe a real lack of confidence in McGee and wanting to maintain a little more depth at third base, whereas they're pretty well covered at Ishikawa's spots, which would be first base and left field. So that's to me a little information point that we may get coming up. And certainly I hope for Travis's sake that he's able to get back on the roster and contribute again. That's really what he would like to do. But, you know, I think they're going to try to take the emotion out of this decision. And it may boil down to Arias or Ishikawa. And the way they go on that pick could kind of tell you a little bit about Casey McGee, just how long they might plan to give him a shot.
Very good. Boy, Andy Baggerly with us. He's so good with clues, he ought to be on Jeopardy. Really. Three-time Jeopardy champion. Three-time Jeopardy champion, Andy. Very good. That was good. That was good detective work. I like that. Hey, Eric Cercamp's name came up. He's a Dodger now. How about that?
You know what? Yeah, Eric Cercamp just traded to the Dodgers. They obviously are in sort of dire straits with their pitching. Ryu had the surgery. He's out for the year. You know, behind Greinke and Kershaw, they do have some issues. And I think you get a little deeper into the season when the trade market does start to pick up. I think they're definitely going to be in on a Cole Hamels and some of these other names out there. But it's very hard to make any major trades this time of year. You really have no leverage if you're the acquiring team. And so, but they need somebody. And it's kind of funny. You look at the Cercamp is now a Dodger. Mike Kickham has been claimed on waivers by a couple different teams. Some of these names that sort of came up and didn't do much as Giants. And now you've got Eric Cordier that will go on waivers any day now, and he threw 101 miles an hour last year. So I got to think, with the climate for pitching being what it is, there's no way the Giants are going to keep him. They'll probably lose him on a waiver claim after he was designated a couple days ago. And you know what? Just tells you the premium there is on pitching in this game, as you mentioned earlier.
Yeah. Hey, one last thought for you. Belt's home run last night, 475, and just – I mean, look at this guy, four homers, six games, and over 300. I mean, the offense is just clicking, but, boy, that home run last night, you've seen him there before. One of the longest you've ever seen?
You know, I remember one that was longer, and I know Bonds has hit them up there. I think Corey Dickerson hit one up last year. They said Belt is the 20th different guy to do it. It's been done 34 times. The one that I remember is when I was covering the Dodgers, and Jesse Orosco was still kicking around. And he came in to face Larry Walker and put one right in his wheelhouse. And I want to say Larry Walker hit one that was another maybe 10 or 12 rows higher up than Belt hit his. I think it's the longest home run outside of batting practice that I think I've ever seen anyone hit ever. And that includes Barry Bonds, includes Bonds off Troy Percival in the World Series and all those others. So that's the one that sort of for me sticks out. Of course, I kind of wish I'd been at Wrigley Field the day that Glenn Allen Hill put one on the rooftop. I'll only live through that one on YouTube. But the one for me that still stands is Larry Walker off Orozco. I never trust any of the home run distances.
No.
Back in the day, the PR guy would just look at a little chart that he had in front of him and just sort of, you know, guess. And now they have the StatCast, and that shows you the arc angle and all this other stuff. ESPN, I guess their stat tracker, they've got a lot more information, and they don't even say estimated distance. They call it calculated distance, and they calculated Belt's at about 435 or something like that. So we told Brandon what the two estimates were, and he said, well, I'd like to go with even higher, but I'll take the bigger number and be happy with that.
He's funny. Isn't he funny? He's a funny guy.
He is. Yeah, he's a very funny guy.
Yeah, I like him. Hey, Andy, thanks so much. And I appreciate all the time you take and to give us these previews of what's coming up. So we'll chat with you again.
I always enjoy it, Marty. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Boy, that is great. Extra bags, Andy Baggerly, right here on KMBR 680. Okay, more coming up, Justin. We'll catch up with you right after this on the Sports Leader.